Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. I would like to thank God for all of you that have dialed into the show this evening. You have dialed into ministry, Unpossible, with your host, Minister Sharon Rambus. Ministry Unpossible is based on a scripture found in Luke, the 18th chapter, the 27th verse. In it, Jesus speaks. He says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." From Jesus' words, we derived our theme, which is, there is nothing too hard for God. And our show mission is to empower and encourage God's people with the word of God. And so you can dial into our broadcast every second Thursday of each month from the time 6:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. And our next show date is Thursday, November the 14th. So anyway, we'll be doing some things different. We'll be launching a show on a new platform. So we have a new guest number. Our new guest number will be 516-453-9399. Once again, our new guest number for our next show on Thursday, November the 14th, will be 516-453-9399. And so this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So no matter what may come your way, you should have a made-up mind, a purpose-filled mind, to rejoice and be glad. Because despite what it might look like, even despite what it might even feel like, God has been good to you. So we always start to show off with prayer, because the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous avail of much. It also says that men are to always pray and not faint. Prayer is a weapon, and we know that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For when we pray, I believe God listens. When we listen, I believe God speaks. And when we believe, I know God works. May we pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being better to us than we've been to ourselves. We thank you for your peace, your protection, and your power. We thank you that we don't have to live under condemnation of the clouds of threats from the giants in our lives, the giants of sickness and the giants of lack and loneliness, the giants of oppression and depression. But you created us to be giant slayers, and so we are no longer bound. But thank God we are free. We're free to live and love in the purpose and power in which you have created us for. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And so this evening, I just come to tell you simply that Jesus is real. So no matter where you are tonight, you might be riding along in your car. You might be listening from your home. You might be listening from a hospital room. Someone could even be in a convalescent home. And then there might be others that might find themselves, like Paul and Silas, behind prison bars. But wherever you are tonight, Jesus is real. And he will save you if you just reach out and grab him by faith. For there is no other name given under heavens where men may be saved. For at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so we thank God for his word, because there is a word on tonight, and it's found in one of the minor prophets, the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, verses 17 through 19. And Habakkuk's, and along with the other prophets, you have major and minor prophets, and it's not that one has more importance than the other, it's just that the minor prophets just didn't write as much, but they carry the same weight. And so he's not a minor prophet because he's not as anointed or not. The word shouldn't be as valued as others, but it's just that he didn't have the writings and numbers. His writing is not as exhaustive as others, but our text for tonight, once again, is Habakkuk, the third chapter, verses 17 through 19. And verse 17 reads, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places to the chief singer on my string instruments. Amen. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. And just for a few moments of our time that we have this evening, I would like to encourage you from this thought. I will yet praise him. So as we look at and discuss our text tonight, we already discussed that it was written by a minor prophet named Habakkuk, who's a prophet unto Judah. And God has an issue with Judah. They have become rebellious and disobedient. So this causes God issue with his people. And so God was telling Habakkuk that Judah was going to suffer some things. God was going to use Judah's enemy, the Babylonians, to cause them to have a change of heart, to cause them to turn back to him. And so ain't that just like God? God uses who he will and does what he will. And so, and that was the issue that Habakkuk was having with God. And before you judge Habakkuk, I know that you too have wondered and been perplexed by some things that God has done. Yeah, and I wonder, have you ever been mad at God? If you didn't like what he was doing and you didn't like who he was using. But then Habakkuk realized Like, we must realize that God can do what he wants to do. God is sovereign. And so in our text now, we find Habakkuk, he describes the dilemma that Israel is in. He says, though the fig tree don't blossom. And so he's literally saying that we're not going to have any food. No fruit on the vine means we're not going to have anything to drink. The labor of the olive will fail. And he's saying that there will be no pay for your work. No income. No jobs or making money. Or possibly that the money that you made, the check is already spent. He says the field will yield no food. Means your investments, the things that you took time and planning and putting away, they're not going to produce any dividends. The flocks will be cut off from the fold, means that relationships, kinships, and friendships will begin to be severed, and people who you thought were was your ride or die, who you thought would be with you. To the end, those relationships will start to sever. It says no herds in the stall means that all the stuff you put up, your savings, your reserve, your little stash for rainy days will be gone. And so now Habakkuk, what he's describing is a serious situation going on. He's describing, you know, the situation that Israel disobedience has caused them to fall in. No food, no drink, no money, no relationships. So the question arises, how do you respond? How do you respond when you find yourself facing a dry season? When it's not your season of favor, when it seems like you're suffering one loss after another, when it seems like your money is shorter than your month, how do you respond? But Habakkuk says but despite all of that, he says, yet a shift takes place. Yet means in spite of my bad situation or in spite of whatever is going around me, he's saying, yet. Habakkuk in our text, he sees that after talking about all the doom and gloom, after he leaves his pity party, let's see what happens in verse 13 in this shift. And so as we look at our text, the first thing I'd like to point out is Habakkuk has a change of perspective. He goes from complaining to celebrating. He runs down everything that's happening, everything that's bad, everything that has him up at night. It's right there in verse 17. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd. Then he says, in verse 18, he says, I will rejoice . He didn't even see that things was getting better. But he said, yet I will rejoice. He probably was thinking, I don't even know how things are going to turn out. But he had his mind made up to rejoice. He don't even know if whatever ailments, whatever sickness he have, if it's a cure. But he made up in his mind that he will rejoice. And so that yet, that three-letter word yet, is powerful because in spite of the things that you're dealing with, despite the things that I have going on in my life, the things that I had planned on working out just seem not to be working, yet I will rejoice. And that's what Habakkuk was teaching us, that we don't have to wait until things get better. We don't have to wait until we see progress. We don't have to wait until the battle is over, but we can shout. We can rejoice right now. We can rejoice while we're waiting for our situation to change. We can rejoice in the waiting room, in the hospital room. We can rejoice while we're waiting for our circumstances to get better. And so we can rejoice right now. We can yet praise him in the midst of what's going on. And my second point, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so joy is defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And so let's read that verse again. That was verse 18. Let's read that again, but this time let's replace joy with the definition I gave you. So it says, I will feel great pleasure and happiness in the God of my salvation. And so what Habakkuk realized, he couldn't trust his feelings. He couldn't trust his feelings because his feelings, like ours, they change too often. Some days he felt all right, and then other days he felt out of it. Some days he felt like he can go on, and other days he felt like staying in a bed. Rebecca knew he couldn't get all caught up in his feelings, but he knew that he could trust the fact that God is good. And so you too can trust the fact that God is good when you're going through. How do you know? Because he continually wakes you up in the morning. He continually starts you on your way. And so we too, like Habakkuk, should yet praise him. And so our troubles don't change the fact that God is good. Our situations don't neglect the fact that God has all power in his hand. Our circumstances don't circumvent that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. And so the question arises, how can I rejoice? How can I rejoice when it seems like everything is going wrong? How can I rejoice when I have no food, no drink, no money, my investments is yielding no dividends, no reserve? And so it brings me to my final point. It says, he is my strength. It's right there in verse 19. So when you know that and you see me catching hell, and you see me in spite of that, and I'm praising God, it's because he's my strength. Yeah, don't get it twisted that everything is going right and ain't nothing going wrong, and I haven't been through some things. I could have lost my mind, but he was my strength. I wonder if the Lord has been your strength through your troubles and trials, when you lost all of your strength. Because the Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And it's his strength that we can rely on. He'll put the super in your natural. And so I don't know about you, but I could have lost it all, but he was my strength. When I had a bad doctor's report, he was my strength. And so that's why I can say I will yet praise him. During the good times and the bad times, I will yet praise him. When I am up and when I am down, I can say that I can and I will yet praise him because he's my strength. And so when you find yourself dealing with the things that seem unbearable, when you find yourself going through some tough times, don't find yourself in that and don't allow yourself to stay in that pity party too long. Have that change of perspective. Go from complaining to celebrating. Go ahead and rejoice. Because you can do all of that because God will be your strength. And so tonight, we must have the resolve, we must have the mindset, we must have the perspective that Rebecca had, that despite what I'm going through, despite what I'm feeling, despite what the doctors say, despite what the lawyers say, I will yet praise him. Yet praise him. Through it all. Praising through it all. God bless you. Because he's been good. And he is good. You can praise him. God is a good God. He's a wonderful God. And so no matter what you're going through, I know I got some witnesses on the line that can tell you that when you praise God, when you stop focusing on the things around you, but keep your focus on him, you find that it seems like the more you praise him, the seem like your breakthrough come a little faster. It seemed like you'll begin to live out that scripture where it tells you that trouble don't last always. You'll be able to live out the text where it says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And so I'd like to encourage you that, yeah, although you've been suffering through some lonely nights, some dark nights, joy is on the way because it's morning time. Joy is on its way because he loves you. And so just like Rebecca, just like Rebecca, you can praise your way through. Praise your way through. Stop complaining. Start celebrating. And have that yet praise mentality. Have that yet praise perspective. Because God is still good. God bless you tonight, and I hope this song ministered to your son. sick.
Did you forget what you're doing?